ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. More U.S. troops and assets are moving into the Middle East. The Pentagon says it's to address an imminent threat that Iran could stage what Tehran says would be a retaliatory strike on Israel and to protect U.S. troops who are already in the region. A show of Republican unity among the leadership.
November 5th is going to be the most important day in the history of our country. That's the election.
Former President Trump with House Speaker Mike Johnson at a joint news conference at Mar-a-Lago. A New York judge denied Mr. Trump's request to delay his hush money trial due to overwhelming pre-trial publicity. Proceedings are set to begin on Monday. One person is dead and several are hurt. A suspect is in custody after a stolen 18-wheeler crashed into a Texas Department of Public Safety office in Brenham, Texas. Troopers say the driver told police he was retaliating after being denied a commercial driver's license the day before. Stocks closed lower. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Next year's race for Wisconsin Supreme Court appears to be more wide open now that Justice Ann Walsh Bradley is retiring. Conservative Judge Brad Schimel is the only candidate so far, but liberals Susan Crawford and Chris Taylor are now said to be thinking about it. The winner of next year's race will likely decide the court's ideological majority. Clean water advocates say they're happy with the EPA's new legally enforceable benchmark for PFAS in drinking water. Lynn Thorpe of Clean Water Action says it's not enough to clean up PFAS already in the water.
We need to take equally aggressive action to keep the chemicals from getting into the water and the environment in the first place.
Wisconsin adopted its own PFAS standards for drinking water last year, but the new federal standard is stricter. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. According to data from the City of La Crosse, new EPA standards on PFAS would mean the city's municipal water would exceed the threshold of contamination by federal standards. In fact, of the country's tens of thousands of water systems, it's estimated 6-10% could have PFAS levels above new federal standards. The new standards do not apply to groundwater contamination, which affects places like the town of Campbell. However, Wisconsin has its own PFAS standards set by the DNR to help with identifying contamination. Two state legislators, including one that is a candidate for Congress, will be in Muscadet on April 23rd to discuss a bill that will try to fund higher education in Wisconsin. State Senator Kelda Royce of Madison and Assembly Representative Katrina Shankland of Stevens Point, who is running for the House in District 3, will talk about recent campus closures, mass layoffs at UW Oshkosh and UW Platteville, and the decline in funding for universities and technical colleges. The forum is free to attend. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Brewers head to Baltimore. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opened a weekend series against the Orioles at Camden Yards. Yesterday's game with the Reds got rained out in Cincinnati, rescheduled as a doubleheader in August. NBA, the Bucks in Oklahoma City to take on the Thunder tonight. The Bucks coming off wins over the Celtics and Orlando Magic. NFL, the Packers on the tailgate tour, headed to Brazil this fall to take on the Eagles for the opener. I asked Kenny Clark,
do you know anybody that's been to Brazil?
I went there a couple years ago. Actually.
You did?
Yeah, I was in Brazil. I was in Rio. Oh. And I had an amazing time, man. There's so many Packer fans out there, so many football fans out there. I went during the Super Bowl and watched the Super Bowl at a bar, and the energy there was amazing. I can only imagine, you know, what the experience we're going to have when we out there actually playing a football game in Brazil. The fans are going to be amazing.
So LaFleur's coming to you for tips on how to get around Brazil.
Yeah. You're going to have to come to me for the tips.
That's Packers defensive lineman Kenny Clark. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the upper 30s. Mostly sunny, breezy, and warmer for tomorrow, high into the low 70s. And more sunshine for Sunday, high mid-70s. On Monday, sun continues and breezy again, high upper 70s. Currently at 62 degrees.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I always wanted to be taller. All I wanted to do all day is play basketball. And I remember this guy from the team came in, and he's having a bad day. And he looks at, we're just playing a pickup game, and he goes, "Hey, guys, can I get a dunk?" Somebody throws him the ball. He runs and powers it down, and I'm like, how cool after a bad day to be able to throw a dunk down. Like, you don't get the same satisfaction with a launching an angry two-handed set shot, you know?
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey everybody, Todd Allbaugh, Monday noon to 2. Will Matt Flynn run for Supreme Court? We'll find out. Join us on the Civic Media Radio Network.
On air, 1490 AM. Online, lacrosseeagle.com. And on the Civic Media app, this is Eagle 1490.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, all right. It's Friday, the end of an amazing week. I don't have my co-host with me tonight. Dr. Tim Slecker is not on the scene, but I'm here, Dr. Johnny, with you tonight. And I got Aaron on the boards. It's going to be a banger of a Friday. We're going to wrap up the week. We're going to talk shop and we're going to take calls. So if you're out there and you want to call, anything you want to chop it up with, education talk, fully leaded education talk. We are educated educator talking education tonight. The number 855-752-4842. Go ahead and give us a call if you want to join the conversation. Well, usually on Fridays, we recap the week, Tim and I. So it's just going to be a Johnny recap with any callers that call in. Or you know what? You're just going to get a full dose of me otherwise. And Aaron, thanks for being on the boards for us tonight. All right. So this week was it a special week, especially coming off of last week. I mean, last week is still resonating with me. I know usually our producer, Anya, on most nights, her and I are both still starstruck from the Martin Atkins joining us last week from the Post. Yeah.
I loved that show. That was awesome. That was so cool to hear from him about all this.
Yeah, I love it. Aaron, thanks for hopping on because, yeah, it was rocking, man. I mean, that's just a legend. He's a humble man. He's wise. He's got so much to offer, especially he works with people, music of all genres, right? And of all kinds of sound engineering and many things related. But he came on the show because he has a lot to offer in terms of what artists bring to education and that process and that creativity. So amazing show. If you get a chance, you can always go back and download it. It's from last week, Thursday. But this week, so that really set up an amazing conversations all week this week. On Monday, we had a really great guest, Tabitha D'Angelo, or Del Angelo, I should say. I always want to say D, but it's Del Angelo, the interim dean of the College of Education at College of New Jersey. And she came on and she talked and reminded us about the importance of how we can emphasize our civic duty by running for school board, by being participatory in that process, and just all around great conversation around schools. And the role we can play as teacher educators, but also as just citizens in our community to being present at the importance of supporting public schools. So great conversation on Monday with Dr. Tabitha Del Angelo. And then Tuesday, wow, man, my brain was just blown because we talk often and it's a super important issue everywhere in the country, but especially in Wisconsin. You know, the battle to understand how charter schools are funded and the political funding to push for vouchers and for really a lack of accountability for charter schools. And really, this is more of just the dismantling of public education in favor of marketized, you know, options in terms more charter schools. And we had some guests from Colorado, Mike Daguerre and Jane Shirley came on the show and kind of blew my mind talking about this concept, dark money, and sort of understanding the funding behind really pushing for there to be no accountability for charter schools. In a sense, this was really important because so often where we think of things as like, you're either for charters or you're against charters. Well, they kind of came on the show and talked about how rather than be just opposed to charters, what they would really like to see in Colorado and in other places too, is at the very least accountability for charter schools. And so, the Democrat governor in Colorado. So we often think of this as like Republicans are pro, privatization of schools and Democrats defend public education. Well, you know what? There are Republicans and Democrats who aren't really doing a whole lot to defend public education and in fact can be bought out and into supporting, right? No accountability for charters and in fact greenlighting so many of these non-public options into public and into school systems where ultimately schools, families, and communities, become the victims of marketized education where there's a pitch, hey, we got this great solution, you can choose to come here, but delivery is often fallen short. And in Colorado, there's a ballot, out there, there's a legislative bill coming together to say, hey, we need more accountability for all schools, but especially for these charters that do exist, they should have to function within school district regulations and they should have to be accountable just like any other place where children are learning in our state. And so, they came on, they talked about this concept that really blew my mind, dark money. And so, I'm just trying to loop back around to it on Tuesday. Jane Shirley and Mike DeGeyer came on and talked about, there are billions of dollars getting poured into supporting essentially vouchers or a lack of accountability for any option other than public schools. So we hold public schools accountable at the state level, but right now there are groups and foundations and donors that are at like pouring big money into making sure there's no accountability and that there's really just a clear path for market options in the field of education, and that really is, it means charter schools, right? And so, but they talked about this concept, dark money. It was a newer concept to me, and I thought it was kind of helpful because I always like to think, well, if you got a bill that's proposed and you've got people opposing it or advocating for it, let's follow the money. Let's kind of figure out who's funding what. Well, there's this concept called dark money. In politics in particular, dark money refers to spending to influence elections. This is money specifically used to influence elections, public policy, and political discourse. But here's the catch, where the source of the money is not disclosed, right? So it's really, truly a system of smoke and mirrors and sort of like a laundering, we might say, of money so that the money can't be followed. So it's funneled into influencing elections, public policy, and political discourse, but the money can't be traced back to where it's coming from. Well, so they talk about this large amounts of dark money funding this, opposing this bill put forth to have accountability for all schools in the state of Colorado. This is kind of important because we got to be on watch for this. Like here we are exercising our civic duty. We have to be defenders of democracy. Right. I know, like, here we are. This is the education talk show. So we're talking about education, but really broadly, we're talking about defenders of democracy, not only in what's taught and learned in schools, but in the policies and the politics that make that teaching and learning possible. So supporting public schools, for us defenders of democracy is a no-brainer. However, there are Democrat governors, there are Republican governors, because remember, education is a state right. So this is why I'm kind of looping us back around to governors. There's state legislation that is absolutely dismantling the bedrock of democracy in our states, and that's our public schools. So we're trying to say, where is the money coming from to support something that's against the best interests of democracy in our states, right? And so we're trying to trace back the money. And our guests on Tuesday talked about this concept of dark money. And they also talked about how, you know, it's worded in good intention. So we say things like, hey, you know, this particular donor or this particular foundation is giving money to help improve students' learning. And that's kind of vague. Really, we have to read between the lines and see they're actually funding school choice and charters as options. That's not, that might sound in a marketing campaign as a slam dunk for education, but it's absolutely not. Because what we know from researchers like guests we've had for the had on for the last month or so, researcher after researcher keeps coming on and saying, actually, this whole like green lighting charter thing has done nothing to make education better for students. It has not provided, by and large, more options or better opportunities for learning. And in fact, it's kind of gone down. We could spend less on higher yield solutions in our public schools and get more. And so there's this kind of system of smoke and mirrors and political talk that's really important to understand, but money talks. And so when we're able to walk back and look through, you know, where's the money coming from? Well, who's the influences? This concept of dark money involved in this, I think, was really illuminating and great conversation on Tuesday. We got a couple minutes before we go to break, so I'll bust to Wednesday and then bring it back around. But wow, Wednesday, you know what, folks? This week we had Educator Amplified, because every week we have Educators Amplified on Wednesday evening with us, and it was a great conversation. I'll admit, man, I got frustrated, and that happens sometimes on good radio or good conversation. It's like anytime you get together with your friends and you're sitting around a table and you're talking, or you're out on the porch, maybe having a pop or two, you're having a conversation and things, you know, we don't always all agree. Things get a little heated. Well, you know what? Educators Amplified and Busted Pencils, 99.9% of the time I'll agree. And we all agreed on Wednesday, but it got dicey because, you know, our guy, Tim, he's not here with us tonight. He's usually chopping it up with me. He likes to assign articles for us to read. And we read this article, and he's a great teacher because by design, he gave us this article to be a little bit frustrating for us. And it was talking about this curriculum materials that are really important for teachers to use, like tested and high quality curriculum materials as the solution, all right, to, you know, to this idea of learning loss and low performing test scores, which Tim already knows, right? That not only do Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie and Johnny here, we are all about fed up with hearing about test scores and what students aren't doing. I mean, this is the language of putting the blame on teachers and students. And so he gave us this article about, you know, high quality curriculum materials and this whole pitch coming forward. And, you know, and it was frustrating because we're like, really, still we're doing this? But the big important point that, you know, Tim was bringing to the show on Wednesday, and it really is important. As much as it frustrated me, and you know, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna, you know, they navigated it well because they have to all the time as teachers. But the reality is, high quality curriculum materials are being shoved in teachers' faces all the time. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, give us a call. We'll bust some pencils and recap the week. We are born with a chance. Rise above. We're gonna rise above. And I am God.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Big A, little A, bouncing B. The system I touch, your body won't get me. One, two, three, four. Start to control, are you gonna let it get you? Gonna be a prisoner, bounce, dissection. Say you wanna be a
summer. Oh, we're back. Great tunes. Aaron on the board, throwing down some great sounds to help us transition on this Friday. Hey, it's been a banger of a week, folks. Hope listeners out there, you've had a great week and you're headed into a beautiful weekend. This is Busted Pencils, fully led education talk. Educated here today, talking education. You're welcome to give us a call. Give me a call, 855-752-4842, or you can drop a comment in the feed. There's a number of ways you can get at us. If you download the Civic Media app, you can always listen to all the great programming on Civic Media live. That way, of course, I'm talking about this week's episodes. You can grab them off the Civic Media website as well, or wherever you get your podcasts. But we had a lot of great content this week, amazing discussions. Right before we went to break, I was talking about how great it was, for Tim to get us all riled up on Wednesday with Educators Amplified, who always talk about the importance of being, regulated as an educator, but also, as a human being committed to their wellness. It's good to stay regulated. I got all dysregulated on Wednesday. Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna, they navigate that with such prowess. They were able to like move through it and talk shop about, curriculum materials that are tested and, important curriculum materials for teachers. And the really thing is, I got all riled up because I'm just overhearing it. Stop. What I read is that there's something to sell teachers. There's something that's going to fix a problem in schools. And here's what we know, and we keep having researcher after researcher come on the show and share this, is things. There are things that need improvement in schools. There are a lot of things we need to address. This idea that children have fallen far behind and that they're not learning in classrooms is absolutely cooked up. It's manufactured by all of these high stakes tests and these, different materials that keep pushing the bar higher and higher up at what grade level young people are learning. For example, if you're thinking about, say, second grade, the expectation is really like third, fourth grade material, or it's obscured into this fact that you may be right on track for what we'd understand you to be at or want you to be at as educators in second grade. But the way that we're measuring this, we're calling students who fall under a certain test score as not proficient, but really they're just fine for where they're at grade level. And so there's a lot of misleading information out there that has led to this conversation that, hey, everyone's behind and we're doomed. And guess what? We've got this magnificent curriculum set of materials to put into the classroom, and fix the problem. The other part of what we talked about on Wednesday was this is an age old trick, is just to teacher proof the classroom. So these are materials, Tim has reading about this, promotion for these materials that are going to teacher proof the classroom. And what that means is, hey, it's going to standardize things to the point where, it doesn't matter whether, like, you might be worried that teachers are out there indoctrinating, which we know is a myth, but that's sort of the accusation. But teachers won't be able to teach what they know or need to teach at the moment. They'll have to stay on script and on pace, and these materials will help make sure they do that. Every good teacher out there is like, here we go again with this. That is just not good teaching. It's not good teaching and learning to just follow a script and be on this exact day, the exact thing on the same time, on the same day everywhere. It's just not how it works. You can't mechanize learning, and there are people out there who really push for that. That's a segue into what we did on Thursday, but I'm going to come back to all this, because when I say you can't mechanize learning, Well, you can mechanize a whole lot of things. And so we got back to talking about AI on Thursday, and we had, you know, guest Tom Maloney on, and he's got some really amazing work. He calls himself a critic of AI. And I think he uses that word in a really thoughtful way. He is like hyper aware and knowledgeable of the limitations and what AI, different AI softwares can do, especially related to how they impact our classroom. So we had a great discussion about this. And you all know, if you listen to Busted Pencils, you hear Tim and I go back and forth. We're duking it out over this one. Tim loves the AI. I'm an AI hater, right? And so we've taken sides. We're taking calls all the time. We're getting opinions on this. We're also getting researchers who come in and give us really good background information and research they're doing on AI, and specifically around AI in the classroom or AI in learning. And so we had a great conversation about that. Because I'm a standby. You cannot mechanize teaching. Teaching is something that's highly relational. It's situational. It's contextual. And to my knowledge, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I'm not an expert on the technologies. I'm sort of a Luddite when it comes to this. But to my knowledge, there is yet the capacity. AI does not have the capacity to, in the moment, be responsive in situational, contextual ways with diverse learners and students. It's just not human. And so I'm not saying that a bad teacher is better than AI, but a good teacher will never be able to, AI will never be able to do what a good teacher does. And so that loops me back around. I mean, we had Martin Atkins on 2 weeks ago, and he said the same thing. He said, like he actually kind of sides with Tim a little bit more on these AIs. He told a story about, he remembers when the drum machine came on the scene, you know, and friends called him up and said, you know, up, there you go, Martin, your job is gone. You're going to have to find something else to do. You're going to be replaced as a drummer by a machine. You know, and he thought, he listened to the drum machines, and even the most sophisticated drum machines, as they got better and better, he said, you know what, still, it just got rid of really crummy drummers. It made it so that, like, you kind of couldn't be a professional drummer and be mediocre. You had to be really good. And I kind of think the same thing, you know, is getting pushed by AI and by a lot of the different technologies and a lot of these, even these highly successful curriculum materials that Tim had us reading about on Wednesday. All of these things that are just polluting the landscape of classrooms, one of the silver linings is they're making it so you really can't be a bad teacher and be a teacher. We need great teachers out there, and good teachers are going to keep good teaching, because it's just something that we'll always need, we'll always be around. And it's something we need to get better at providing to every kid who's in a school, anywhere they are. So it's really important, kind of loops back around to, like, why do we even talk about education as a, you know, bedrock of democracy, and then the importance for teachers to be able to do good teaching, because it's all relational, right? And so we're going to come back to that too when we come back after the break. We're going to talk about what does Johnny even mean? He's been talking and talking and talking about the themes of the week. He keeps coming back to this whole, you know, but it's all relational. So we're going to come back to that, and we're going to focus on, I'm going to break it down, teachers and the relationality of good teaching, right? So if you got me on the radio, you're listening, you're following along right now, hey, give us a call, 855-752-4842. This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educator talking education. When we get back, relationality and what it means to do good teaching. Silence is a virtue, use it for your own protection. I try to make it bright and go, refuse to show your face. If you don't want to be beaten down, refuse to join their race. Be exactly who you want to be, do what you want to do. I am he and she is she, but you're the only you.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, we'll talk to the authors of the book Secret Wisconsin, a guide to the weird, wonderful, and obscure.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 340 people in northwest Wisconsin will lose their jobs when window factory Gelled Wen closes in Hawkins later this year. The company plans to move its Wisconsin production to its factory in central Illinois. The move will reportedly save the company at least $7 million. Wisconsin teachers are leaving the profession faster than ever. A new Department of Public Instruction report says 40% of new teachers leave teaching or leave Wisconsin after 6 years. And it's not just the low pay.
They're still being asked to take their work home with them, to work over the weekends. They're often being asked to teach both in person and virtually, sometimes simultaneously.
State School Superintendent Jill Underly says Wisconsin has enough surplus money to fix the problem. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A Vernon County recount for a county board supervisor position is complete, with the same result as what was reported on election night. Nicholas Erlinson filed for a recount after the election night returns showed him losing the District 5 seat by one vote. He said there were mistakes in tallying and the number of votes in three precincts, including Coon Valley. After the recount, Vernon County officials confirmed that Bruce Kilmer won the seat 176 to 175. The state DPI released a report that shows 40% of new teachers in Wisconsin are leaving the field or the state within their first 6 years. DPI officials said the report shows that the education workforce is in crisis in Wisconsin, with almost a third of people who are issued teaching licenses in the state not taking a position in Wisconsin. According to the report, teaching pay, when adjusted for inflation, has fallen about 19% since 2010. For WLCX in La Crosse, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. There's a serious buzz growing around Gladiator 2. Director Ridley Scott excited theater owners, giving them a peek in Las Vegas at Caesar's Palace during CinemaCon. Russell Crowe won a Best Actor Oscar in the first film, but his character was killed off. Stepping into the role is Paul Mescal. The film also stars Denzel Washington, Pedro Pascal, and Connie Nielsen. Gladiator 2 is expected to hit theaters on November 22nd of this year. Speaking of Ridley Scott, despite his age of 86, his directorial dance card is full. Scott also announced at CinemaCon that he will direct a Bee Gees biopic. In addition to Gladiator 2, he directed last year's Napoleon. Collider.com reports that Barry Gibb, the only living brother of the Bee Gees, will executive produce the film, which is currently in the development stage. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 30s. Mostly sunny, breezy, and warmer for tomorrow, high into the low 70s. And more sunshine for Sunday, high mid-70s. On Monday, sun continues and breezy again, high upper 70s. Currently at 62 degrees.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Our dial position is off to the right. Our conversation, right in the middle. You're soaring with Eagle 1490, the talk of La Crosse.
Oh, yeah, we are back. It's Friday. Recapping the week. Just Dr. Johnny here tonight. Dr. Tim, not on the scene. Sometimes we all got to take a little break. Dr. Tim is off on a little bit of a break. Everything's all right, though. We are Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educator here tonight talking education. Feel free, if you want, to drop a line. Give us a call, 855-752-4842. Give us a call. We'll get you in on the show, and we'll talk it up, chop it up. Whatever you want to talk about related to education or themes of the week. But when we went to the break, I talked about how I'd come back and I'd talk about that whole relationality thing, a whole idea that teaching is relational. It's situational. It's contextual. It's not mechanized. Regardless of how much we want AI to be part of our room, this still needs to be mediated and facilitated by a living, breathing being that is present with other living beings in the classroom. There will always be great teachers. We need more of them. So that kind of comes to teacher education and the whole landscape of, so what does it mean to be a teacher, to be a good teacher, to be committed to that relationality thing? You know, and I was thinking about that because we talked about it a lot this week. Educators Amplified on Wednesday always remind us of this, you know, really thinking about exploring outside of what is and dreaming together about what ought to be, but not just dreaming, making it happen, because that's what good teachers do, is they get out there and they know what's needed in their classrooms, and they get the job done. Looping all the way back around to Monday, you know, our guest, Dr. Tabitha Del Angelo, you know, is a teacher educator and talked about this too, the need for us to really make sure that teachers are not only recruited to becoming great teachers, but they're learning to be great teachers. And so there are times, I'm a skeptic, there are times, and our guest Tom Maloney last night talked about this too, you know, AI kind of muddies the waters, right? It kind of makes for the possibility to assign assignments that, you know, could be AI generated response could fulfill the task. And so we want to steer away from that and be really good teachers. And so that's why I kind of loop back around this idea of relationality. It reminds me a little bit, though, of the importance of the moment, because that's something else Tom Mullaney brought up about AI, is AI is actually not really intelligent. And I don't mean that as like a slam on it. It's not human. It can't think. It can only do predictive things based on information it has. So it's not really in real time intelligent. It's just, that's a marketing slogan for it. So it's artificial intelligence, right, is something that we need to be cautious about. And one of the reasons he said we need to be cautious about it specifically, not only by a question that a caller brought in and that Tim was talking about, was it's you know, using a chatbot to reenact, say, a historical figure has many layers of problems. One, we won't even get into it. It's like, who has the right to really say what someone who is no longer here would say? So we can only kind of speculate, and this gets kind of to be a slippery slope. We're speaking for those who are no longer with us, but it especially becomes problematic when we start to say, you know, I'm going to share here what Harriet Tubman would say in this context, or how, you know, students can ask questions, say the chatbot responds as, you know, Martin Luther King Jr., the Dr. Martin Luther King, you know. So this is not only highly problematic in the sense of that, but Tom Mullaney was talking about how here we were, you know, three white guys talking about AI. And one of the elephants in the room is that AI is actually very culturally biased, and in fact, reproducing some of the very problems that we are all committed to alleviating and eliminating. And so this idea that AI as it stands, these like language-based systems, show an incredible bias against, right? They're really discriminatory. They are very much, we can say, you know, part of the problem. And they're reproducing that problem at a rapid rate. So when it gets to be like, hey, can AI grade essays, or can AI review, you know, articles, can AI sort of serve this task, which in the state of Texas, it actually is being put to use to grade standardized tests now. It just got kind of that's a breaking news as of last week that, you know, that elementary, middle school, and high school student essays being written are graded not entirely by AI, but that a certain percentage, and it's a large percentage, would be graded by AI and sort of then compared to the human sort of grading version and calibrated as such. But that's really problematic, one, because if I'm a student and I'm writing an essay, who's reading it? Nobody, if it's AI. It's not even, you know, so it's like, are we really showing kids that their work matters if it's not going to be, remember I talked about this before the break, relational? It's not part of that relationship. This is going to be another meaningless task. So you know what I said to that? Why not just have them have AI generate it? We'll just have AI generate the essay, AI grade the essay, and then it's done. The human is no longer even important in the process, and what's learned and what's lost, you know, is a big problem. And so like I'm kind of really skeptical of this AI stuff. But especially around the way when I didn't realize, and I should have known, it's pretty obvious, it's based on the information it can mine and get access from, that it's highly reproducing, you know, racism right now. It's been found to be really culturally biased. And so that's a massive problem, because if we're talking about, you know, that we want to, as a field of education, work to alleviate, you know, racism, you know, eliminate it and work towards that. But yet then here we are employing these systems that are shown to perpetuate it. It's a big problem. So, you know, teaching is kind of, it's an exciting time and an important time to be thinking about being a teacher, or to be learning to be a teacher, or to be a teacher. In 1963, James Baldwin, you know, wrote an important essay. Well, actually it was published as an essay, but it was given as an address to teachers and school leaders. And in a talk to teachers, James Baldwin gave a really timely quote to this. And he said, "Let's begin by saying that we are living through a very dangerous time. We are in a revolutionary situation. No matter how unpopular that the world has become, that word has become in this country, the society in which we live is desperately menaced from within. To any citizen of this country who figures himself as responsible, and particularly those of you who deal with the minds and hearts of young people, must be prepared to go for broke. Or to put it another way, you must understand that in the attempt to correct so many generations of bad faith and cruelty, when it is operating not only in the classroom but in society, you'll be met with the most fantastic, the most brutal, and the most determined resistance." James Baldwin, 1963, telling teachers, there might not be a more important job, but don't get the job misunderstood. It's not only a hard and important job, but it's one that is going to be under massive attack. And unfortunately, that has held true, that teachers that are out there doing good teaching are constantly under fire, whether it's, you know, really important curriculum that's being imposed on them, and I put quotes around really important, whether it's dark money getting poured into, you know, green lighting, you know, private charters and you know, going against public schools, whether it's AI being introduced in irresponsible ways into classrooms. You know, all of these things not only harm the landscape of what are, you know, what constitutes our public schools, but they directly harm children, and they directly harm the people working on the front lines to help those children be learners and teachers. So, you know, I'm really reminded that, like, teachers out there doing great work, that work will be met with the most fantastic resistance. Hopefully, one thing we're trying to do here at Busted Pencils, and I know a lot of other people out there are trying to do the same thing, Educators Amplified does this, is we are trying as hard as we can to be the opposite of that fantastic resistance that you're feeling. If you're a teacher, you know, we're working, and there are networks of people all over doing this work, but, you know, we're trying to every day, at the very least, acknowledge that you're on the front line doing really important, irreplaceable, relational work. And that stuff that, you know, hopefully each theme and each guest speaks to. But if we don't, we recap and come back around to it and say, you know what? If we're going to have a strong democracy, we got to have strong schools. And the only way to have strong schools is to have really great teachers. Speaking of really great teachers, we're going to cut to break here. And then when we come back, I'm going to talk about a really great teacher I know, Teacher Joanna, who was able to point me towards another great teacher who I'll bring in here. And we'll talk about the importance of relationships in classrooms and rooted in relationships, this special podcast that Teacher Joanna shared with me when we get back after the break.
Although we do have another 4 minutes here.
Oh, we do? I got the time all wrong. Man, I'm all off. Sorry about that, Aaron. Aaron's good with giving me the times and everything, and I timed it on my computer, set a timer, and I was off. I thought we were going to break. So we have 4 minutes, so I'm going to get into it a little bit. So on Wednesday, Educators Amplified, always sharing the mics with us here at Busted Pencils and Civic Media. And we got to talking on the show, and man, I got riled up. I'm just like, I've had it with these different solutions that put teachers as failing, you know, that continue to suggest that, you know, what will fix classrooms is more really expensive curriculum. And it's like, I've had it. You know, we need to think about what really good teaching is. And Teacher Joanna, who's a fantastic teacher, because even though we all teach, you know, the grade levels we teach, we're also teachers for one another. Like, you're not just a teacher in life because you're teaching someone something in a classroom. You may be out there with a plumber who has an apprentice. You're teaching that person. So we also do a lot of teaching in our different jobs. Well, Teacher Joanna, who's a master teacher, said, Johnny, I think you got to listen to this podcast, Rooted in Relationships. And in particular, she said, hey, there's this guy. I know him. I know his work. I think you would really like it. Just so happened to be one of the people whose work I had read as a teacher and made the decision to get my PhD to teach teachers. So it all kind of comes full circle. But Teacher Joanna sent me a podcast, Rooted in Relationships. And the special guest on that podcast was Jeff Duncan Andrade. And this guy, man, he is not only an inspiration to me as a teacher, becoming a teacher educator, but for years as I've been, I just like to say it this way, speaking truth to power, right? And one of his essays, and I'm sharing this tonight because one of the big themes that that was this week that was a little shocking and jolting to me, although, you know, I'm definitely not a Republican, and I'm not really happy with Democrats right now. And one of the reasons I'm really kind of frustrated with Democrats for it, one of the reasons, there's a few, but one of them for sure is because every Democrat that runs for office always says they're supporting public education. Yet, like our guests on Tuesday shared, the governor of Colorado absolutely is decimating it. And you know what was really hard? And this is why I'm so inspired by guys like Jeff Duncan Andrade, because as a teacher and a teacher educator, one of the things he said, hey, I'm really grateful and I'm really glad that we're seeing this grassroots movement built up around hope. And this is when he was writing, you know, these essays I was reading as a teacher. And he was talking about the Obama administration coming into the presidency. He said, like, okay, on one hand, this is really great, but let's also talk about what's not been so great about it. And one of those not so great things was for sure education. So, this important essay, we're going to come back to it when I get back after the break. We'll talk about Jeffrey Duncan Andrade, Note to Educators, Hope Required When Growing Roses in Concrete. We'll bring it back. We'll connect it to how teaching is relational. And if you're there, give us a call. So Fully Leaded Education Talk when we get back.
And just for tonight, give us a call at 414-369-6005. Sorry about that. Got that all fixed. So that's 414-369-6005. Just for tonight.
You're You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Oh, yeah, we are back. The last segment here, end of the week. It's Friday. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educator here, talking education. Dr. Johnny here. And we had a little bit of a mix up with the phones. If you want to give us a call, 414-369-6005. That's just the number for tonight. Aaron has a patch he's got to work around. And we have LA Tom on the line. So, Aaron, get my guy on here. L.A. Tom, what's happening, my man?
Hey, Johnny. First off, we the people ultimately are the government and not just one individual. And I hope everybody takes that in consideration. And when you're looking at a teacher, you don't look at someone that's just telling you that they can do it all. You're looking at someone that actually can teach. And I think that's really important for ourselves as a country. And I think also what the difference is between a teacher and AI, and this is something AI will never have, is the fact that a human being has a soul. And I don't care, you know, they did an experiment with little Albert, I think it was, where they put him up in the attic and didn't touch him, did not come near him, or whatever, and he ended up dying because of the fact they didn't have that human contact. And I think it's really, really important that we have that human touch, that we have that human ability not to just teach in one way. I teach every day, but I teach in terms of how it is that I take care of my customers. I explain things to them, but I teach them. And I love teaching. In fact, I would have probably been a teacher like my other five brothers and sisters that were teachers. But I didn't go into it because at that time it was very difficult for, I guess, a gay person to go into teaching, or so I thought. So I never went into it. But I also have been a football coach. I have also taught. I love to teach. In fact, if I ever retire, then, you know, I probably have thought about going back and, you know, being a teacher, because I think it's really, really the most important job. I think it's the most underpaid job. I think it's the most underserved job. And I think it's something that we have to look at and say, you know, again, we have to fix this problem with thinking that government is bad and look at government as actually being good. And we should be able to say, you know what, we have some good government teachers. We have some good, we the people, taxpayer-funded teachers. It doesn't mean that the people own the teachers, like some people think. It's the fact that we actually put the emphasis in education and our future in the kids, that because of that, We are willing as a society to put our money towards something that we say is our most valuable resource, and that's our children, and that's the future. So I really think that's one thing AI will never be able to do. I don't think I'm saying this just because, you know, I'm not forward thinking, or I'm not, you know, progressive in my thoughts. I'm talking about human. You know, everyone is getting more and more to this no contact with other people, whether it's on your when you call and you get a automated voicemail or whatever it might be. And the thing is, the more contact that we do not have with each other as human beings, I think is going to be the downfall to the human race. And I'm not saying that as an older person. I'm thinking that as an actual human being. And I hope people really start realizing that, you know, go and say hello to your neighbor. Teach your neighbor. Teach your neighbor about we the people being the government. Teach your neighbor about the fact that we need to get money out of politics. Teach your neighbor about democracy in a way that is not over their head, but in a way that you can actually talk about things, you know, at a very understandable level, the way Tim and Johnny do each day on Buffs and Pencils. You know, it's just very, very important that we have good teachers, and not everybody can be a teacher. The thing is, you have people out there that have gone to school that are actual professionals, just like a doctor, just like a lawyer, just like whatever. And people need to respect the teaching profession, because these people actually have worked their butts off to understand the human being and the humanality between people. So I just really, you know, I'm really sad to see what's happened in the state of Wisconsin since Act 10 and with Scott Walker, you know, ruining education, and the Republicans ruining education in that state, breaking down the union and making it where teachers now have actually don't even want to be in the profession anymore, or got out of the profession because of all that went down in Wisconsin with Act 10. It's had rippling effects, and I hope to heck that they can fix that. And I hope, Tony Evers, you're listening, and you can start actually fixing the problem rather than adding to the problem with having the charters and et cetera. So, Johnny, thank you so much. I know I kind of went on a tangent.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate it.
I really feel passionate about it, so thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, L.A. Tom, for calling. If you want to give us a call, we got a couple minutes, 414-369-6005, a special number for tonight only. It's a workaround patch because we had to get you directly lined into the studio that we're at tonight. My L.A. Tom, always calling in, and it's always a blessing. It's always great. Appreciate you sharing, and appreciate your passion for education, for democracy, and for exactly what you said, that like highlighting that really great teaching is happening all over the place, but that classroom teaching is a calling. It's also a craft. It's also something people learn to do. And it is absolutely essential in our government. That's a good thing. Tom reminds us, right? Like, government is what we make it. It's an incredible thing to have a democracy. And so, but it's only as strong and it's only as good as we put into it. So that's really important. And I'm going to loop that back around, because we were talking about great teaching. We were talking about Educators Amplified on Wednesday. Teacher Joanna sharing a really helpful podcast with me, Rooted in Relationships, which remind me of one of the people who inspired me to be an educated educator, in his essay, Note to Educators, Hope Required When Growing Roses in Concrete, by Jeffrey Duncan Andrade. And he was really critical of hope in the Obama campaign and what Obama and Biden brought to education. And at the end of the day, this is a quote from his essay, at the end of the day, effective teaching depends most heavily on one thing: deep and caring relationships. Join us next week. Busted Pencils. Thank you for listening. Fully Lidded Education Talk.
This is the talk you can't ignore, even if you tried.
Why is everyone ignoring me?
Find out why all of lacrosse is talking about Eagle 1490.
How is your drive to school?
Let me tell you.
I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. A day after the U.S. warned Iran could attack Israel, the Pentagon is moving more troops and assets.